Okay, today I would like to discuss with you Asara B'Teves. Yirtz Hashem, this Sunday is Asara B'Teves. So let me first read to you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I want to discuss with you 3 days, not just one day, 3 days. Today, by the way, is what? Today is the...
Ches.
Today is Ches?
No, Zayin.
Today is Zayin. We're still holding Zayin. We're not up to Ches. So let's see what it says over here in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Tov Kuf Pei, the name of the siman is Yamim Shemis Anim Bohem, days on which we fast. So it says here, long list of days, B'chavches, B'kislev, Saraf Yehoyakim, HaMegillah, Shekasav, Baruch Mipi, Yir Miyahu. There's a list of all the different days. I'll go back even a little bit further. B'zayin Bo, Nigzer, Gezer, Alavasin, Shiyamas, B'cherev, Uvarov, referring to Elul, Tishrei. Okay, there's a long list. We can't go through all the days. Then he discussed the day when the Megillas Eicha was burned by Yehoyakim in Sefer Yirmiyah. We learned about that. And then we have the Ches. Then he comes after mentioning the 28th day of Kislev, which is part of Chanukah, by the way. On Chanukah, it's interesting that it says here in Shulchan Aruch that they would fast on Chanukah. Chanukah was a day when they would fast. Can you imagine? Even though they celebrate Chanukah, but one of the days of Chanukah you have to fast because it was on that day when Yehoyakim, he burnt Sefer Eicha. Mishnah Berurah points out different girsos. Yesh chiluv girsos b'zev yalkein ein kedai l'sanis b'chanukah ein b'magen avram. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says that there are different girsos. Some are of the opinion that it was not on the 28th day of Kislev when Yehoyakim burnt Sefer Megillas Eicha, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, don't be machmir, you should not fast on Chanukah. Don't follow what it says in the Mechaber. Next, okay, there's a long list, you have to see this on the inside. Next, Beches B'Teves, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow is a fast day. That's what it says, Beches B'Teves.
These are all
fast. No, full-fledged fast days. We don't do it. What?
25?
No. Well, Mi'ikar Hadin, the fast begins at night and into the morning. We are not observant. We don't do it. We don't do the way the fast should be done. In the time of Chazal, on Asara B'Teves, and on Tzom Gedalia, and on Shivasa B'Tamuz, they would fast at night, just like what we do for Tisha B'Av. The truth is, all of the four fast days, according to what I've read, there are different opinions in this matter, it's not so simple, have become but. We don't do anything. The only reason why we observe these four fast days is out of Jewish custom, a minhag. And because it's only a minhag, it's not me'ikar hadin, even though it says, it mentions these fast days in Sefer Zechariah, al-kein yitzoyim harvi, yitzoyim hachamish, yitzoyim hashvi, yitzoyim hasirei, or one day turned into days of sasan v'simcha, and mo'adim, toivim, and shalom, v'emes, ehavu, even though it says the Sefer, that you supposed to do this, it appears that it was abandoned. It was no longer followed. We no longer followed this halakha because it was too difficult. I don't know the exact details. However, there was a resurgence, a renewal, a renaissance, a Klal Yisrael to take upon themselves a Jewish custom to observe these four fast days, but only mitoras minhag custom. And therefore, our observance is very, very lightweight. For example, we don't fast at night. For example, we don't wear leather shoes. We don't abstain from doing all of the other things which are forbidden on fast. We go to work. All the things which are normally forbidden on a fast day, we do that. The only thing which we take more seriously is Tisha B'Av. But even that, we're very lenient. The person needs to eat, the person is not well, and so on and so forth. There's a need. Then there are many leniencies because our observance of the four fast days that are written down in Sefer Zechariah are only practiced today out of custom, not out of law. It's a very important principle. But here, There are two very interesting things about this machaber. First of all, he says, let's read what it says. B'ches b'teves nichtava hatora yivanis b'mei talmai hamelech. Talmai hamelech targum shivim. The targum that was translated, really shivim shnayim, was translated by 72 zekenim. Talmai hamelech. This was after the miracle of Chanukah. After the miracle of Chanukah, the Egyptian Greeks prevailed. We know the miracle of Chanukah was all about the Syrian Greeks. We're studying this in the Neil. But they were the Egyptian Greeks who were just as bad, if not worse. And they came along and they dominated the world shortly after the miracle of Chanukah and made a lot of trouble for Klal Yisrael. And they wanted to know, Talmai had a library, I've read, of 300,000 books or manuscripts. I didn't have books in those days before the printing press.
Famous library of Alexandria.
Still there?
Seven wonders of the ancient world.
Is it still there?
No.
What happened to it?
There was a tsunami and...
Really? Wiped it away? Wow. That's a pretty big library of ancient times. Before the destruction of the Bayi Sheni, 300,000 manuscripts. No printing press. He was obviously a brilliant person. He wanted to master Chochmah. And it appears from what I've read that the Torah was very well guarded. Torah was only... You didn't have an act, even though today you go to every shul, there's a Sefer Torah wherever you want. Not even forget about the svarim, the billions of svarim that are in print. Forget about the internet. But even, let's say only a Sefer Torah. Today, easy access. Go to any shul, you find the Sefer Torah. That's not the way it was during those times. It was very, very well guarded. And only very limited people had access to a Sefer Torah on purpose. Because of the sanctity of the Sefer Torah and the fear that people would pervert what it's written in the Torah. They would say, oh, well, interpret this pasuk, because I mean, you read the Torah at face value, if you don't know how the Torah Shabbal Peh, Rashi only came along 1,000 years later. More than 1,000 years later did Rashi first come along, and Rashi put into writing a perish on Chumash. But until that point in time, and even Rashi's perish on Chumash is very controversial. If you study Rashi, what Rashi did, Rashi is blending two different approaches to the study of Chumash. Until this time, there were people that only would look at Torah as a mashal. Nothing ever happened. Everything that says in the Torah never really happened. But it's to be interpreted as an allegory, metaphor. Others say, no, yeah, everything has to be interpreted literally. Either approach has very great difficulties. Rashi came along and it was a mechadesh. He did something that was out of the box by blending the two together. There are certain psukim which have to be understood literally, and there are certain things which have to be understood as a mashal. And there's a very delicate balance between the two. It was a very unique approach, and if you study the time period of Rashi, what Rashi did, Rashi was something that we take for granted, we don't even think, we don't even bat an eyelash, but Rashi's perush was very controversial and very innovative in his approach to understanding Chamishei Chumashei Torah. But that's 1,200 years later. Incredible. Until that point in time, Torah was very well guarded. It was only taught and given over to people that were trusted to be true to the traditions and to the true understanding of Torah. And for a guy to know what it says in the Torah was unheard of. And rare instances where a guy wouldn't find out what it says in the Torah, it would be a young tzom, be a tiny sibur, if they found out what it says in the Torah, because they'll give him the opportunity to make trouble. Talmai HaMelech, he was a very powerful person. He caused a lot of tzaras, and he was able to get his hands on a Chumash, on the Chamishei Chumashei Torah, and he forced the Chachamim to translate it into the common language of those times, of Greek. And this was a very great yerida in the Kedusha of the Torah. That the sanctity, the mystique of the Torah was downgraded, was put online. You know, like, what was the name of the guy? What? Accessible. What was the name of the guy who put all the secrets online? And the what was that guy? That troubleman.
WikiLeaks.
They put it online. It's totally lost from us to appreciate what this was. How it degraded the mystique of Torah. We have no clue to appreciate. And with that, Chazal tell us 3 days of Choshech came to this world. That happened on Ches, tomorrow. Tomorrow is the anniversary. Ches, Tes, and Yud. And therefore it was practiced in ancient times, a Yom Tzom. There was a fast day that was commemorated on this day. The eighth day of Teves. Now, what is very interesting, which I'm going to want to come to in a few moments, is that the Mechaber very mysteriously leaves out the fifth day of Teves. There's another day called the fifth day. What happened on the fifth day of Teves? That was the day when word reached Bavel that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. This is recorded in Yechezkel, and it was probably one of the greatest horrors for Klal Yisrael, the fifth day of Teves, when they received, you have to imagine, the Beis was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, on the 10th day of Av. In those days, there was no email. There were no cell phones. Today, we would see it live. We don't even need it. We wouldn't even need to get an email. Watch it streaming online. We would see what's going on. But it took all that time from the 10th day of Av all the way until the 5th day of Teves to get word. And when they heard in Bavel that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, It was a devastation beyond belief. What? A very long time. But that's how the world was in those days. There was no there was no traveling. The Romans controlled the roads. There was control. That's what it says. It's Pasuk Yecheskel. Pasuk Yecheskel. Even have the Pasuk over here. But so there's a machlokes. There's a Gemara in the Sechter Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches that discusses. We have to understand. I'm going to Inyan. I want to get to the main things I want to speak about. But the Gemara we discuss is that the requirement, the din to fast, to commemorate the Chor Beis HaMikdash, to commemorate the when the walls, they broke through the siege, Shivas Batamus and Tzom Gedalia, Alpi din. It was never set to commemorate a specific day. It was to commemorate one day in the month. In the month of Av, happened to be the ninth day, is when the fire started. The Mikdash was burned down on the 10th day. The Beis HaMikdash was Charav in the fifth month of the year, Chodesh Av. The Halacha required from the Nevi'im, we're going back to take one day in the month and dedicate it, use it to remind yourself of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't have to be the ninth day, it doesn't have to be the tenth day. If that year it's just not convenient, you have a meeting, if Klal Yisrael has something important to do, you're begging the Sima Shas, happens to work out, the ninth day of Av is the day when Klal Yisrael finishes Shas. So no, don't make Tisha B'Av, don't have celebrate the, so commemorate the Beis HaMikdash the day before, day after, week before, week after. It's not a din in the day. It says, and it comes to Shivasa B'Tamas, the time when the walls of Yerushalayim, when they breached, you have to commemorate the 17th day. And in fact, who says it took place on the 17th day? According to one version, according to the whole question of Bavli Yerushalmi, what it says, the stib between Sefer Malachim, it happened on the 10th day. Not on the 10th day. Was it the 10th day it says? Forgot already. The 10th day of, the 9th day. I don't remember. The 9th day, the 10th day of the month of Tammuz. Not on the 17th day, but on the 9th day of Tammuz. Just select one day. Tzom Gedalia. Select one day. So at Teves, some want to learn that Teves also select one day. It has become our custom that we focus on a very specific, but this is custom, it's not law. We select the 9th day of Av, we select the 17th day of Tammuz, we select the 3rd day of Tishrei, and we select the 10th day of Teves. According to some opinions, this is the Gemara Masechta Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, that the real day that we fast for Asar B'Teves is not the day when the siege began, but it's when which would then be the Aschalta de Paranusa, but it's when word, the very, very end, when word came back to the people in Bavel and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now let's take a step back to explain this idea, and then we'll go back to what I want to mention over here. There's basically a process. The process did not happen in one year, but when we look at the four fast days, there's a procession. The 10th day of Teves is when the siege began. The Babylonians, the Bayis Rishon, we're discussing the Bayis Rishon. For the 10th day of Teves, it's not the Bayis Sheni, it's the Bayis Rishon, the first Bayis. The Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, besieged the city. Who was the king at that time? It's Sidkiyahu. Who was living in the city at that time? Yirmiyahu was there. They were Nevi'im. There was a Sanhedrin. Can you imagine, according to modern estimates, there were 2 million people living in Yerushalayim at that point in time. 2 million people, that's what it says in the books. There were 2 million people living in Yerushalayim, and the Babylonians came, Nebuchadnezzar sent Nebuzaradan, and they besieged Yerushalayim. No one goes in, no one goes out, and living in Yerushalayim were Nevi'im, was Yirmiyah, was Sidkiyahu HaMelech, were Talmidei Chachamim, there was a Sanhedrin, there was Shechina, there was Nevuah. We can't even be masig what was going on in this city, Yerushalayim, with 2 million people. The whole world coming, the center of the world, and now Nebuchadnezzar comes, Nebuzaradan, no one goes in, no one goes out, and this went on for a number of years. How many years was it? 3 years? I think 3 years? He besieged for 3 years. That's the Aschalto de Parnus, but yet it sent shockwaves throughout the world. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Nebuzaradan to besiege the holy city of Yerushalayim? Chazal tell us it's because of the Zara, Gili Arayas, and Shvichas, the big three. The big three were the cause of the sin, and there's another sin also of Chil Shabbos. That's a very important thing which is discussed in Yecheskel, and it's discussed in great length by the Chasam Sofer. There are really four sins: Avodah Zara, Gili Arayas, Shvichas Tamim, and Chil Shabbos. And we'll get to that in a moment. But it was the Aschalta de Paranusa, the very beginning, and the beginning is always worse. And the proof to that is Tisha B'Av. When do we commemorate the Beis Hamikdash Chorban? Not when it was destroyed on the 10th day. But we commemorate the Beis Hamikdash on the 9th day, because that's when it started. Haschalt is worse. We discussed the kinos. Why do we have 4 kinos on the Crusades? There are so many pogroms, blood libels, tsaris, in Klal Yisrael, in Jewish history. Why on Tisha B'Av do we devote 4 kinos to the Crusades? So you'll say, because Ashkenaz, that was when it was codified, it was Ashkenazic Jewry, and then they were in control. Okay, there are a lot of different, you could say different answers, but one of the very profound reasons why we focus on the Crusades so much and the kinos and Tisha B'Av is because it was the first time in Golus when there was mob-incited violence through the participation, the encouragement, and tolerance of the government and church. It was a whole different type of tsara. And it set a precedent for all of the pogroms and the Holocaust and all the things that will come in the future. It was, in a sense, aschalta de paranusa. It was a whole new approach to anti-Semitism, which started with the Crusades. This is from secular historians, and that's why we focus so much on the first crusade, aschalta de paranusa, and this theme is all over Chazal. And it's especially true when it comes to Aser B'Teves. In many respects, the fast day of Sunday is much more chomer than Tisha B'Av, because Aser B'Teves is the beginning of the siege. It's the beginning. What's the second? Where is it? 3 years later, the second part of the process was when they broke through the walls, where the Jews were no longer able to hold back, and the Romans, after building, the Babylonians, after building ramps, and after doing all these techniques and starving the Jews, they were able to break through the walls and enter the city of Yerushalayim. That took place on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, on the 5th day, the 17th day of Tamuz. Then what happened? The Kohanim fought. Just because they came into the walls of Yerushalayim, and if you walk from the old city into the coastal, how long does it take you to walk from the old city to the coastal? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? The most. 10 minutes? The most. Even from the most distant part of the walls of Yerushalayim, the old city, it doesn't take more than 10 minutes to get to the coastal. Maybe a little, if you're slow walking, maybe a little longer. And how long did it take for them to get there from the coastal, from the walls of the old city into the coastal, to the Har Habayis? It took them 3 weeks. Why did it take 3 weeks? Because they fought. The Kohanim and the Jewish people, they're not just coming here, they're not giving up so easily. They fought. When did they destroy the Beis HaMikdash? The third part of the process? Tisha B'Av. That's pretty bad. They destroyed the business. Then what happened? I don't remember my Jewish history. I don't remember my Navi. But then there was a period. It was a Churban. But people were still living in Eretz Yisrael. They went here. They went there. There was still a Yishuv. The Nebuchadnezzar did not throw them out. We've conquered. We've destroyed your temple. But we're going to let you live. You're going to behave yourselves. We're going to take with us to exile many people. But we're going to leave a small pocket of people here to control, to develop the land. And we'll have your leader will be Gedalia. Gedalia ben Achikom. Achikum. Gedalia ben Achikom. He will be the leader. He was the appointed leader. And if he would have remained alive, they would have redeveloped. And who knows? Maybe Mashiach. Maybe they would have rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash some point time somewhere down the line. But what happened? There was some jealousy and there was some tsaris. And I don't know exactly how long it took. Was it right away? Was it a year or 2 years later? I don't remember. They went to Egypt. I remember. You have to go look in the Sol and Pasuk. The next step was the Makeh B'Patish. Was on some Gedalia. Some say it was Mamish Rosh Hashanah. He was murdered. He was murdered due to some conspiracy, and when he was murdered, that was the end of the Yishuv Gedalia. Gedalia ben Achikum was murdered by Syria, and that was the end. That was it. The few Jews that remained in Eretz Yisrael had to leave. For the next 52 years, no human being stepped foot in Yerushalayim. It was the end of the end. So in many respects, Tzom Gedalia and Asar B'Teves are much worse than what we think Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av, okay, the Mikdash was destroyed, but Asar B'Teves, Aschalta D'Paranusa. And Tzom Gedalia was the end of the end. But it's not really where it ended. There's another day. There's a fifth day where it ended. And the fifth day is keep on going forward. Well, I don't know if it's in between. Part of the cycle of the year is when the report reached, there's another day in this process when the report of the Churban Beis HaMikdash reached the Jews in exile in Bava. We have to remember that 11 years before the Geula, Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyachin with 11,000 Jews to Chorosh VaHamasker. They received report that the Mikdash was destroyed on the fifth day of Teves. So when you look at the year, we're really going through a cycle of 5 days, which really define, it's not necessarily in chronological order, because the siege was for 3 years. And Gedalia was not killed immediately thereafter. Gedalia was killed a few years later. But if you go through the year, it's a very interesting idea, you're going through a cycle. You're going through the Aschalta de Poranusa. That's the 10th day of Teves. And then you come to the siege. They come to the breach. They breached the walls. And then you come to the Churban. And then you come to the death of Gedalia. And then you come to the devastation, the feelings of Yeush, to the people, the survivors. The survivors who are living in Golos when they hear there's nothing left in Eretz Yisrael, which just happens on the fifth day of Teves. So many want to say that when we commemorate the fifth day, the 10th day of Teves, it's not only a commemoration, being that when you commemorate a tzom, you're not commemorating necessarily a specific day. You're commemorating the tzara of the month, what happened in this month. There are two terrible tzaras that happened in this month. The beginning of this cycle and the end of the cycle. The beginning of the cycle is the Aschalta de Paranusa, and the end of the cycle is the feeling of despair that overcomes the survivors of Klal Yisrael who live in Golos in Bavel. The fifth day of Teves. And being that when you commemorate a tzom, you're commemorating the events of the month, that's really what Asar B'Teves is. It's the first and the last, which certainly emphasizes the degree of severity for what Asar B'Teves is all about. The first and the fifth. Now, with that in mind, what happened, so what's interesting is that the Mechaber, even though he mentions every single possible fast that you can possibly imagine, he ignores Gesundheit, the fifth day of Teves, which is very interesting. That's totally not even mentioned at all, which was when the report came back to the Jewish people living in Golos. Okay, then he goes on the ninth day, the eighth day. Eighth day was when Yavon, when Tamei HaMelech, the Egyptian Greeks, they translated the Torah. They wanted to know what it says. I saw a very nice mashal to explain what is the significance, to explain the mystique of the Torah, the Kedusha. It's like a lion in the wild. If there's a lion out there. Lion is the king of the animals. You don't walk in the forest. You don't go out in the middle of the night, because if you go out in the middle of the night or in the forest and the lion sees you, you're a dead man. You're gone. He'll eat you up like that. It's over. But what? So the lion he instills terror upon the masses. But what happens when they capture the lion, the same lion, and they put him in a cage, and they put him in the zoo? He's in the Bronx Zoo. So then you have all the little children come. Look, there's a lion, and they throw things. Big deal. There's, look, very nice. Wow, look at the lion. Look at the pictures. Take pictures. Feed the lion. Do this to the lion. The whole, the fear, the terror that the lion instills is gone. It's the same lion. That's what the Avonim did to the Torah by translating into Greek. The Torah, Ayin Panim LaTorah. There's an infinite, this infinite depth to the Torah. By taking the Torah and translating it into Greek, which represents their Kleina Hasagas. The Greeks, they were Chachomim. They knew how to study. They were brilliant people, no question about it. But it's human knowledge. It's limited. It's a cage. It's a very nice cage. The Bronx Zoo, no one's complaining. It's very nice. Very pleasant. But it's a cage. And by taking the Torah and putting it in the cage, you totally remove from the Torah the mystique, the awe of the Kedusha, the sanctity the Torah has. Man feels now, oh, we have shlita, we have control over it. That was an incredible churban which we cannot relate to. It happened on the eighth day. 3 days of Choshech came down to this world, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. So that's one which we don't commemorate. For whatever reason, it's too hard for us to fast for 3 days. So I've never heard anyone fast tomorrow, Erev Shabbos. Tomorrow, Erev Shabbos, a Yom Tzom. It says in Mamash, in Mechaber, but no one appears to do this as one of those days.
Sunday.
So therefore, this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, we should be aware, tough cup is what happened on the 8th day. Now, let's go to the 9th day. So we have B'yei Metal HaMelech, V'hoya Choshech Bo'olam Gimel Yomim. Okay. U'v'tespo. Now, by the way, one thing before, and one more thing about the translation of the Torah. Yaft, it was translated into Greek. And the fact that the Gemara says that Greek is unique, that you're allowed, there are many halachas where the only two languages that are permitted are Lashon Kodesh and Greek. Greek, but in the Chazal's view, is a language which is valid in many areas of halacha. Not to go into the details, based on the pasuk Yaft Elokim Liyafes VeYishkon BaHaloshe. So simply, I always grew up with this idea because Greek is a beautiful language. I don't know one word of Greek. I can't even tell you one word of Greek.
You probably do without knowing.
But it's supposedly a beautiful language. It's sophisticated. It's above and beyond all of the languages of the world, which are not as refined. But I saw from Rav Chassam Sofer, he says an amazing thing, is that Yavon Greek was rewarded. Why were they rewarded? When the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon came, the time to destroy the Churban Bayis Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar, we have to understand how wars were fought in ancient times, not like today, where every nation tells the other nation, butt out, none of your business. But in ancient times, Nebuchadnezzar, when he came, he called all the nations, whoever will come to assist me, the League of Nations will be rewarded, you'll divide the spoils. Every single nation came to participate in the battle to destroy Yerushalayim except for one nation. Yeah. Greece. Haflev Afela. Even though Greece dominated, was one of the Dala Malchios, but at this point in time, Bavel, when Bavel was, Yavon said, no thank you. It's not our business to start up to make trouble for the Jewish people. Not at least at this point in history.
Right.
It's not our business. And they stayed away. And it's alluded to in that popular Mizmar where we say when the Rachman is at Tzar and Eretz Yisrael, we say all this whole Mizmar, I forgot which one it is, but all the nations, Gavol, Vamon, Vamolek, Pleshes, and Yoshvei Tzar, we rattle off a whole bunch of nations. That simply refers to, not Yemos HaMashiach, refers to the Churban Bayis Rishon. And a whole list of nations. And Yavon is not in that list. Yavon did not come. What were they rewarded? The reward was, says in the Medrash, Chassam Sofer quotes this Medrash, they were rewarded that their language was preserved. In other words, the Chassam Sofer says, when Hashem created the world, He created 70 languages. Time of the Dor HaFlaga. The 70 pure languages. The truth is, every single one of those languages would have been fit to translate the Torah, to be used for a translation. However, over history, the languages lost their luster. They lost their flavor. They were corrupted. Like English today. English today is not, I mean, English anyway is not, it's from Latin, but the way we speak English today in the year 2012 is not the way we spoke, English was spoken 100 years ago, 50 years ago. Check out a book from 200 years ago. It's hard to read. The old Middle English doesn't make one word of sense to us. It's not the way we write. If they would read the way we spoke, they would laugh at us. You don't know how to write. You don't know how to read. You don't know how to speak. Language has a tendency to get diluted, to get corrupted, to be influenced, to be changed over time. Every single one of the 70 original languages was corrupted over time. The only language that was preserved 100%, was not at all corrupted over time, was Greek. Why? There is no reason. It was Hashkocha Pratis in reward for Yavan. Well, it's only really a 300-year period since this happened, because Yavan did not cause harm to Klal Yisrael. So Hashem said, because you did not cause harm to Klal Yisrael, I am going to bring about a series of events where your language will be preserved in its purest form. Now it's already also been lost. But at that point, therefore, it was a perfect language from the time of the Zohar HaFlaga, unlike all the other 69 languages which were corrupted. That's why Yafel Kimel Yafes, it was the only language which can be truly used to translate Torah into. Because really, Torah can be, it's not like we think. I always thought, yeah, there are 70 languages, or there are a million languages. Do whatever you want. It's a special bracha. No! Every language would have been fit. It's just that we no longer have the original languages. They have been corrupted. Why were they corrupted? Because they were not, the nations were not deserving. Hashem took away their culture, their language. It's a very great honor to have your own language. You want to misbehave? We'll punish you. You're going to lose your language. Yavan was rewarded because they did not cause harm to Klal Yisrael. Their language was preserved. Memela, by default, they were the only language which Torah could have been translated and it could have been used. And it seems it was. For a period of time, it was great. There's a lot more on this, but we have to go further. But this is what that, and this is what happened on the eighth day of Teves. Now we come to something that is extremely strange. I'm continuing the words of the Mechaber. Uvites bo, on the ninth day, which this year is Shabbos Kodesh, you have to fast. It used to be the custom to fast. You fast. But why do you fast? So the Mechaber says, "Lo noda ezehi hatzara she'era bo." We don't know. It's not known. All we know is you have to fast. Why? I'm reading the words. "Lo noda ezehi hatzara she'era bo." Okay,
I'll cut it. 3 days in a row.
3 days in the correct. We don't fast at night.
Non-stop.
We don't fast at night.
Oh.
And now you can eat.
You said they were...
Oh, so we don't know. That's not what he means. And this cannot pass it down. It means...
It's like Ramadan. You fast
3 days in a row. We don't do this. It's not our custom. We just fast. If we're lucky, we fast Shabbat Teves, so we don't fast the other 2 days. Okay, now this has been the target of all of the commentators. What do you mean? No one's going to take this for sitting down. We'll figure out why we fast on the ninth day of Teves.
Google it.
Oh, so you should know. I remember. Unfortunately, I don't have time for this, but I remember about a year ago, maybe more than a year ago. I once in the car, I downloaded all of Rabbi Dr. Schneer Lyman's 18 Shavir, probably has hundreds of Shavir, thousands of him. Brilliant, brilliant Talmud Chacham professor, Oxford scholar, and on YU's website, yu.org, yutorah.org, they have Rabbi Schneer Lyman only 18 Shiurim lectures. So I downloaded them all, and I played them all back to back, and one of them was about this Mechaber. And he figured out what it was, and I don't remember the details. I don't remember his conclusion. And if I had time, I would have gone back. By the time I started preparing this, really, it was too late to go back and to dig it up and to listen to it again. But I encourage you, if you have time, before Shabbat Teves, to go online, yutorah.org, download from Schneer Lyman. I'm sure that you'll see right away which one it is. Just type in his name, Lyman, Schneer Lyman, on the ninth day of Teves, and he has a shir. I just remember bits and pieces, and I did find over here some similarities in this sefer, however you call it, Yisrael v'Hazmanim. And I'll just tell you some of the different opinions meanings of what is this fast day of the 9 days. So first of all, let's see, it says the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah tells us what it is. We don't know what it is, Yud Gimel. Now he doesn't say it is the definitive loy neda uvislichos is shalanu. In our slichos, he's not saying his own. If you look at the nusach of the slichos on Asar B'Teves, we mention a couple of things. There does mention Shemes Ezra HaSofer. It's the Petira of Ezra. Ezra was equivalent to Yoshua ben Nun. Ezra was, you know, Kibush Sheni. In the other Sfarim, it says not only Ezra, it says that Nehemiah also died on the same day. Hashkacha Pratis. Ezra, and I guess not the same year, Ezra and Nehemiah died on the 9th day of Teves. Some of Farshim, they expand upon that, and they said it's not so much significant that he died, because there are many Gedolim that died over the generations, and we don't commemorate their Yahrzeit. Avraham Avinu, Yibetir was on Rosh Chodesh Teves. Past, when was Rosh Chodesh? Friday, last Friday. That, according to our traditions, even the newspaper, I saw they wrote it up. Avraham Avinu, the tradition is that Avraham Avinu's Petir was on the first day of Teves, and the tradition is that Ezra and Nehemiah died on the 10th day and the 9th day. What's the significance? Because that's when the Tekufa of Nevuah came to an end. It's not so much the person died. With Ezra's death, even though Ezra was not a Navi, it doesn't appear that he was a Navi, maybe he was, I didn't learn Ezra yet, but he's part of Ksuvim, he's not part of the Nevi'im, but there's a very fine difference between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. This Tekufa of the end of Nevuah came to an end, and that had a major impact on the world. As long as there was prophecy, you know, I told it was a joke that in my shul we had a red phone, an emergency phone. So someone didn't know, what's this red phone? Never heard of this, a cell phone. So I told him, just in case the cantor is having difficulty, we have a direct line.
It's an uncle call.
That's what a Navi was. We're so far removed from this. It was a direct line, and this Kufa came to an end with this. Therefore, it's a need to fast on that day. Now, let me use some other ideas. I remember him saying some of these things, but I don't remember what his conclusion was. There was the Ravid. The Ravid said that there was a person, a very great person. We don't know who he is. His name was Rabbi Yosef Halevi. He lived about 1,000 years ago, before the early Rishonim, maybe even the time of the Gaon, before Rashi. It appears maybe the time of the Gaon, probably the time of the Gaonim. I'm not exactly sure when he was. Been the time of the Gaonim, and he was murdered. He was murdered by the Muslims. And Muslims, I'm not exactly when they, I don't know, he was murdered. And it was a very, very big tzara. And I think things catch on. Certain things catch on. And it became Rabbi Yosef Halevi. Okay. Rabbi Yosef Halevi in Sfarad. I don't know the details, and Zlatz documented this. He died on the 9th day of Teves, and it was a very great tzara. The details have to be uncovered, but that's a very popular approach. The Ravid quotes this. That's what it says over here. The fast is referenced to. Another idea, and this is very, very schwach. But some want to say that it's the day when Yoshko was born, and it was December 25th. That year was I remember Schneer Lyman, I think he was very disturbed with this. He said, "There's no, first of all, which Yashka? There's one, two, three, how many Yashkas are there? No one knows when he was born. That's clear. That's all. You want to say that we have a Messiah? There's a Messiah that it was Tess. All right, there's a Messiah. There is no Messiah. It's a very schwach. But it's brought down such an approach that it's the day Yashka died. Well, one of the Yashkas was killed Erev Pesach. That we know. Yashka was killed Erev Pesach. But he was born on when was he born? They said December 25th. That's not true. They even admit it's not true.
They said now September 18th.
So it's all holding. So no one knows what this is all about. Which Yashka? Okay, that's one. Another answer, which I don't know, somehow I like, somehow it appeals to me, this answer, is says in the Megillah. Vatilokach Esther lamelech Achashverosh l'beis malchusobach chodesh ho asiri hu chodesh teves. Esther was taken to Achashverosh. Well, it doesn't say what day. It just says in chodesh ho asiri. There is a tradition in Mesorah. Where do you have a Masur like this? I don't know. She was taken on the ninth day of Teves. And that would mean that we really commemorate the Zilzal of Benos Yisrael. It's not just Esther. Esther being taken to Melech HaChashash represents that the Goyim are Mezalzel in the Kedusha of Benos Yisrael. Rav Pam was very big into this, about Shaduchim. And he was a great advocate for the girls, that the girls have to be treated right in the process of Shaduchim, and all the different dimensions and layers of Shaduchim. You don't be Mezal, I remember him saying this, Mezalzel in Benos Yisrael, Zilzal in the Kedusha of Benos Yisrael. Okay, this Zilzal means to degrade, to insult. And on the, okay, this is an extreme difference, that she was taken by this plus the Persian Achashverosh, but it represents the concept. It's a day that's miyuchot for zilzul b'benos Yisrael, like you would say a shiruch crisis. It's a day to focus on. That's really what it's about. I mean, it's the same. It's not shiruch crisis, but it's an idea of zilzul b'benos Yisrael. That's another approach. Okay, now there's a lot more to discuss, but unfortunately, I'll just say very quickly that some more says Sarbat Teves is the day when Yaakov Avinu was buried. Because you make a calculation, Yaakov Avinu died on the first day of Sukkot. It's put down in Midrashim, and it says in the Pasuk that 70 days they embalmed him for 70 days, and then they took him. It says, the Ramban says, I don't know how the Ramban knows, the Ramban says it took 8 days to go from Mitzrayim to Canaan. It's a Ramban. Ruach HaKodesh, 8 days. And then it says it was 7 days of Avelus. So we think the Avelus comes after. In ancient times, the Avelus was before the burial. So you make up all the numbers from Sukkot. Go from Sukkot, 70 days, 8 days. And then take 7 days of Avelus until they buried him. It's 85 days. 85 days from the first day of Sukkot is Asara B'Teves. Not the 9th, this is going to Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves is, and therefore that's another thing we should commemorate. But there is a Maila. This is a very interesting Chassam Sefer. It's a fascinating idea. That you have to always look for the silver lining. That Yaakov Avinu was buried on that day. What else happened on that day? Esav was decapitated. Chushim chopped off his head. So that means, even the time of our Churban, the Aschalta de Poranusa.
Who the Chushim?
Chushim was a son. Was a
son of Manasseh.
Don. So Bnei Don Chushim. This is part of Chushim. So this is a silver lining. Even though it's a schalta de Poranusa, the day that they begin to lay siege to Yerushalayim is the day that they become weak. It's the day when our Aschalta de Geula, it's where Esav already suffered a very great setback. He was killed. It's a very interesting insight. You go look at everything that is harsh, there's always a silver lining. It's Aschalta de Geula because he was killed that day. Others also want to say that it's interesting that from Rosh Hashanah to Asar B'Teves is exactly 98 days. And 98 is not a good number in Jewish, because they're 98 klalos, so that's another thing to keep in mind for the answer there. But in any event, it should be, like it says in the Pasuk, that the Tzoyim Ho'asiri will be transformed into Sosoyim V'Simcha Moyadim Toivim Emes V'Hashalom Ehovu. Have a wonderful day, B'Yat Hashem, tomorrow.
In the back.
9:30.